for the House Special Session Committee on Budget Reconciliation for the purpose of introducing LC 46. You're extraordinarily timely. I would defer to staff to give a summary of the bill or the LC.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, for the record, I'm Elizabeth Martin Mahara with the Legislative Revenue Office. What LC 46 does is it phases in the implementation of Measure 88 for 2 years. It decreases that maximum amount of the federal income tax deduction for Oregon personal taxable income. For tax years beginning January 1st, 2002, the maximum amount of the federal income tax deduction would be $3,500 instead of the $5,000 that is now current law. And then for married couples filing separate tax returns, it's half of that amount. So it is decreased to $1,750 versus the $2,500, which is under current law. Then in the following year, in tax years beginning January 1st, 2003, the maximum amount of the federal income tax deduction would be $4,000 instead of the $5,000 there is now. And then in 2004, then that becomes $5,000, which is the same as under current law, but the difference is there would have been indexing under current law. So you begin the indexing under this bill in 2005. It takes effect 91 days after the adjournment of this session.
Excellent job, Elizabeth. Any questions, quick questions to staff? May I remind you, we're not voting on this bill. We're just introducing it, so we can have more time to look at it. Any questions of staff? Quick questions of staff? Representative Shetterly has moved the introduction of LC 46. Any discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chair, I'll give you a courtesy gift.
Introduction?
Mm-hmm. At the introduction.
The let the record show, LC 46 is introduced to the House Special Committee on Budget Reconciliation. We will now consider LC, the introduction of LC 49. Richard, you are not as timely as Elizabeth. So talk faster.
LC 49 deals with essentially the mortality tables that are used to compute retirement benefits for PERS members. What the bill does is require that, a brief bit of history, I guess, mortality tables tend to get updated, or in the past they've been updated about every 8 or 10 years. And there has been some change, significant change, in the most recent tables, which are actually effective in 99. What this bill does is to direct PERS to adopt new mortality tables January 1st of every year, beginning January 1st of 2003. Now, those might not change. The numbers might be the same if there's no new information. But they have to use the latest information available in adopting those tables. That's sections 1 and 2. In section 3 and 4, they say, well, parenthetically, the method that is involved here in terms of determining what benefit tax would be is based on what they call a segmented approach. And what that means is if several different mortality tables are in effect during the working career of a PERS retiree, then the period for which each table is in effect has to be considered in determining the benefits. So what PERS will have to do is essentially determine what the balance was, if you're talking about money match, or what sort of benefits would be earned by each individual at the point of time where the mortality tables change. So you get the amount for the first set of tables that apply, then you take the increase in the retirees' benefits that occurred over the next period of time, and you apply the updated tables. You do this for however many tables might apply during that employee's working career. That's called a segmented approach. And what that does essentially is mean that there's no cliff in the sense that if you work past some time, you're not going to have any increase in your benefits. They might be less than they would be under a different set of mortality tables, but there's always going to be some increase in the retirees' benefits for each additional year that they work. Okay, sections four and, or three and four do the same thing, except these are temporary, and they begin, they require PERS to adopt new mortality tables within 30 days of the effective date of this act. And it does have an emergency clause, so essentially it's within a little over a month now. To apply those tables to anyone who retires within 60-day window there where this will not be effective if someone retires. But if someone retires 60 days after the effective date of this act, they will be subject to the Section 4 provisions. Section 5 confers jurisdiction to the Supreme Court to determine any constitutional issues that might be involved in this legislation. And it provides for filing of petitions by aggrieved persons. Section 6 then directs the public employee's retirement. What this will do, of course, is save PERS, will reduce the benefits that are paid out by PERS or to the, reduce the, shall we say, unfunded liability, or at least the amount of money that PERS must accumulate to be able to pay out these benefits, because the benefits are going to be lower under the longer mortality lifetimes. And it's anticipated that this will result in lower assessments on employers. And what Section 6 says is that the Public Employers Retirement Board shall adjust those employer contribution rates by blank.
After instruction from Ramona, Dick, I'd like to compliment you on your very comprehensive explanation of this bill. For those in the audience that are wondering what Richard just said, this is the PERS light version that's been floating around. I would like to ask the committee if they have any questions for Mr. Yates. Seeing none, again, we're only doing a bill introduction, so I'd like to ask you to keep your questions short. Representative,
I was going to make the motion.
Could you please hurry
up? I would. I introduce move that LC 49 be introduced and move it for introduction.
Any discussion? Thank you, committee. Any objections? Seeing none. LC 49 is introduced, and we will recess to the call of the chair, the House Budget Committee on Reconciliation.